I think I'd like to maybe just spend a minute on the importance of program quality, and specifically in that accreditation.
Sure.
Accreditation is really just something that ensures that you're doing the best job you can do, and with your resources that you have, are you meeting the benchmarks that are set forth? Some states have their own accreditation, state accreditation, and then there's a national accreditation that the KHEP and COAMPS, which COAMPS offers the recommendation for KHEP accreditation, is what we use in EMS. And those things are very, very good in a sense that they're a lot of work, and they're not free, but it does show that you're working hard to be as good as you were yesterday and hopefully better.
I'm just going to interrupt for a minute here. So there's the COA and there's the other one you said.
Yeah.
Who is setting these benchmarks, and who is giving these people the authority to set the benchmarks for the? I'm just curious because I don't know anything about accreditation.
Sure. There's the KHEP, which is the Committee on Allied Health Education Professions. It's CAAHEP.org. That's where you get a gold mine of info there. They are they're made up of several boards of healthcare professionals, and they accredit a lot of different allied health programs like EMS, but also medical assisting and lots and lots of different respiratory therapy and kind of. Then each allied health program or division has its body that recommends their programs to the KHEP. So, and that's where COAMPS would come in. COAMPS is the one that does EMS programs, so, or EMS professions. So, they do a lot of the work, and then they send it to KHEP for approval. So, that's kind of the difference. A check and balance system is all it is that they make it sure. But, and then COAMPS is made up of a lot of different professions that represent them, the NAMT, the National Registry, American College of Emergency Physicians, anesthesiology, surgeons, all the American colleges. So it's pretty cool. And then they set forth what they believe, and then they have standards in which to go by. And, the standards are on the website, coaemsp.org, and those standards are what everyone follows in order to attain and maintain their accreditation. So, and those are good things. Accreditation, the benefit of that is that you know that your program is meeting the needs of benchmark of quality and the needs of the community. And so it's based on all the different standards that are set forth. But it really helps a student know that the program they're going to has been looked at with a fine-tooth comb, and is it a quality program or not? Am I spending my money in the right place? Am I going to get what I'm going to get? So, are there programs that aren't accredited that are good programs? Sure, there's going to be some of those that do their own QA and self-study, but the chances are of going to an accredited program, having it be a good one, are much, much better than, so. And I think really the important part of that is, as we get more and more accreditation, the standards of the future say that in 2010, it recommends, and whether this will happen or not is up in the air, but it recommends that anybody who teaches paramedic will be an accredited program, nationally accredited program. So that's not very far away. And we'll see if that can actually happen. But with that, I think those things are great steps toward having our profession become a profession, truly a profession. We've got wonderful people in our profession that are just dedicated and just really do a great job. And yet, a lot of times they're not rewarded, for their work. And they work huge hours and sacrifice all kinds of time and energy and effort. And we're young. I mean, we're only in our toddlerhood, maybe pre-adolescence, I think, as a profession. Yeah. But you saw this with nursing. I mean, it started the same way. And now nurses are very respected and do a very good job and do what have, you know, a nice pay for their work. And so EMS will get there too, I think, mm-hmm. but we're still defining ourselves and trying to get there. But back to the original, I think accreditation will be a huge piece of that. It should, if done right, will really, really give a lot of value and validity and credence to who we are and what we do as educators and as EMS as a profession. So
not just showing students that it's a good program, but to right. show to the general public too that,
yeah.
hey, look, we're diligent, we're right. setting standards and we're meeting standards.
Absolutely. You know, and people say, why should we pay all this money? Why do we have accreditation? Well, would you go to a physician who went to a non-accredited school? I mean, that's a good question. The answer usually is no. So then why do you want a paramedic or an EMT that did?
Right.
So it's, again, there's a lot of issues, but it's fun time to be in EMSs because there's a lot of things coming to the forefront and a lot of excitement to, the ideas that are out there. And, you know, when you think that analogy of growing up, I mean, yeah, you have times, and as our adolescence comes, I mean, you know how that is. I mean, we'll have some issues probably and growing pains and a lot of that. But as we mature as a field and as professionals and providers and educators, I think, you know, we've got a bright future, you know, if we do it right. But the accreditation piece is a good one, I think, in there, my own personal opinion.
All right. What's like one other piece that's you think going to be important towards forwarding?
That's a great question. I think a national, the goal is to have national certification levels across the country. We have a lot of states have their own different levels now, and yeah. there's good reasons for that. But if we could get, you know, the public to understand the difference between an EMT and a paramedic and the different levels, and if we had some ability to do that, whereas if you're in state A and you want to go to state B, that the reciprocity or the licensure is, oh yeah, well, there's one, and that's what it is over here, you know, instead right. of, you know, because people do get kind of confused, and sometimes it's the provider that's on the short end of the stick, so to speak, when they try to transfer to another state because the program here doesn't exist in the other one and whatnot. It's not bad for EMT and paramedic right now, but some of the intermediate levels get a little confusing. So mm-hmm. I think that'll be a nice piece to give us some consistency in our certification process as far as that goes. And in testing, I think the National Registry has gone to computer adaptive testing now. Mm-hmm. Very, very sound, solid, good thing as far as education goes and educational theory. The people in our state that have done it have just really enjoyed it. They get the results the next day or 2 days later at the most. And they know then that they passed. Mm-hmm. And that's been very, very helpful. And it's educationally, scientifically, very sound. And so it's very, very good. Some states have issues with it because of cost or availability, mm-hmm. but they've worked pretty hard to alleviate those as much as possible. And for similar tests, if you look at other allied health programs who test in with computer adaptive testing, we've got a heck of a bargain in EMS. You know, our cost is way low compared to everyone else. So, you know, it is hard though. You have volunteers sometimes that don't, you know, have a lot of money, or they're going to have to travel to take the test or whatever. So there are issues there that I think the instructor needs to look at before the class ends, not just have students, but turn them free, go take your test. Mm-hmm. But to have a plan there ahead of time, is there,
right.
you know, is there some state funding? Is there a way to help alleviate some of these costs to still provide a quality exam? I know that in our rural state where I live, registry allows a mobile testing, so they can take several computers to a remote location and the people can actually take the test right there on site, which is a wonderful concession they made. Yeah. So there's ways to do this, and it's relatively new as well, but certification, licensure, those kind of things will help us a lot. And I think public awareness of who we are, what we do, we're not ambulance drivers, but you know, we go to one heck of a lot of schooling, to become who we are. And that's our job though, as educators and as providers, to get out and, you know, just teach the public of what the difference is. You know, again, we're not very old. I mean, we're working on 40 years maybe, but that's not very long in the big scheme of a profession, so
yeah.
We'll get there. I think we all want to be there tomorrow, but that's probably, you know, not a realistic goal, so.
Right.
Yeah,
I've got a couple questions.
Yeah,
what are GEMS this month, or was it last month, had an article, and it was a 6-month report on the results of the adaptive testing since they initiated it at the beginning of the year. It was their results through now, and it actually showed that there was about, I think it was a 12% increase in the pass rate.
Yeah.
Last year it was like 62%.
Right.
And in the first 6 months, it was something like a 70, almost like a 72% right. pass rate, or a 74, something like that.
So right.
really high compared to last year.
It's exciting, isn't it?
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I'll give that. But right. I just want to, what do you think about that?
I think it's very good. And I think the reason is, I mean, there's could be a lot of factors, but with computer adaptive testing, you're testing somebody at their level of ability. And so they'll get an easy question to start and another easy one. And then the difficulty starts to increase and it just goes up and up. And if they keep passing them, the difficulty keeps going up. If they miss one, then the next time will be a little lower, and they move that bar according to the answers. But as long as that bar is above the 70% cutoff, they're doing fine. Mm-hmm. A very interesting part of that test, though, is that everyone that comes out of there thinks it's the most horrific exam they've ever had in their life. And the reason is they've been tested right at their ability. And so, but I think an end after 75, 80 questions or so for people who really know their stuff, because it said, yep, you're competent. You know your answers, right? So, or it could end that soon for somebody that really didn't know anything, right? And then others, if they're kind of going back and forth around that 70% bar level, it might take them a while to finish. But I think... And I can't prove this, but as an educator, if you're being tested at the level where you are, you know, you've got that confidence going, you know, early on for sure, where you're, I'm getting these correct, less stress. I think sometimes people get so stressed out over tests, they go back and change answers, which you can't do with a computer adaptive. That'd be a fun study for somebody to look at, you know, compare the paper pencil with the computer adaptive to see if, you know, what were the reasons. And I guess it's kind of late now because they're not using the paper and pencil, but maybe for folks who have done both, you could use that sample of people and say, why do you like this better? Why not? You know, was your anxiety higher with this one or that one or whatever? That might be kind of fun.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's exciting to know that the rates have actually gone up with the computer adaptive. And I wonder if 10 years ago that would have been the case because the society maybe wasn't as fluent or comfortable with computers as much. Maybe there would have been a
drop
negative there because it's on a computer.
You know? Right.
But if you look at medicine and you look at all the other worlds, I mean, the nursing does this. They've done it a long time, and it's a solid, sound way of testing people. And computer adaptive testing is really, really a great tool. Again, it costs more. You have to have a lot more questions to keep the bank, you know, where it needs to be. But registry has really stepped out of the plate and have had a lot of item writing conferences and to add more questions to the bank. And they are really a sound. I mean, I don't think there's anybody that's done as much work on exams to validate tests and have a reliable instrument as much as they are. So they have their critics, obviously. Anybody in an exam business or certification business is definitely going to have them. But but when you look at what they've done and the research and the scientific data that they have, we're pretty fortunate we have such a group, I think, in our field. So.
Okay. My last question here was, just some personal thoughts on a degree versus a certificate for EMS.
Oh, good. That's a great question. I think if done right, there's definitely room for both. Mm-hmm. One day in an ideal world, I'd love it if all paramedics had degrees. I'd really do associate degree minimum. And a few states, Oregon, Kansas, already have that implemented. There's a requirement. Yep. And good for them, you know, and my, you know, that's just excellent. Logistically, it's tough some places right now to do that. My program has a certificate program, also has a degree program. The paramedic core courses are exactly the same, either one. Mm-hmm. But in the associate degree, you get some extra courses like an additional pharmacology class, medical terminology, bioethics, that kind of thing, which are, you know, very good things to have. And, you know, gives the person a broader knowledge base, some extra things. Present time, given the situation, shortage of medics in a lot of areas, my thought is college-based is the way to go. It's going to irritate some people. Mm-hmm. There are non-college-based programs that do a good job, but college has such resource. You have, you know, a biology department and an English department and a library and, you know, a lot of great things that a private organization doesn't always have.
Right.
So I think that, you know, that's a great thing. And as we grow, I think that's probably more thing. I mean, I always think, you know, some people have if they have an EMS program out of their house, and it's like, okay, great. Would you go to a nursing program based out of someone's house? I mean, would that ever even be allowed by the government? You know what I mean?
Right.
So as we grow again, I think we'll move in that direction. And I'm biased. I mean, I admit that because I like the college environment. I think it's a good place for it to be. With that though, certificate programs, you know, there's some great medics that have certificates and, but it all depends on the program they went to. So right. Yeah, degree program would be the ultimate. I think it should be the standard. It should be the way to go, but I think we're a ways off to get there, but I think it should be our goal. Mm-hmm. I really do. So yeah.
Open Airways podcasts are produced by FISDAP with support from emsresponder.com. All recordings express the opinions and experience of the speaker and do not constitute legal or medical advice. This and other recordings can be found at www.openairways.net.